many people have covered this. Ultimately, Microsoft did the thing, ended up being in many ways the face of a lot of stuff at Microsoft. You know, I ended up like being the MC of the company meeting with 37,000 employees and stuff. It's craziness. And I left to start a company to do finance for games because we had failed with Xbox. And I was really serious about this. I'd learned a lot about business. And I'd learned a lot. we'd failed to really ignite any new franchises in the way that PlayStation was doing and Nintendo. And I thought, all right, well, fine. So I know everyone now. I can do that. So I started a games finance company and ended up being absorbed, i.e. hired by Creative Artists Agency, which is this big talent agency I knew nothing about. And I had a lot to learn about everything still. And so I end up in Beverly Hills in a suit with, you know, an assistant at this talent agency. And I worked there for 10 years and ended up in charge of the department. And I ended up, you know, with all these guys working for me and their assistants, you know, in Beverly Hills in a super fancy office. And there are a lot of stories, a lot of crazy things. But that's how it came to pass that I got a call from Universal. And they said that, you know, that CAA's client, right? I mean, I would see Steven Spielberg in these meetings and he would like flick peanuts at me and shit in these meetings because he was like, what the fuck are you doing as an agent? And he would say to me, I don't like you in this job. I was like, okay. And of course, all these other talent agents around are like, how does he know Seamus? What the fuck is this? And why is he saying he doesn't like him in this job? So I got a call from the guys at Universal from Bill Kispert and Pete Wannett, who was also a client of ours as a games producer, saying that, Steven wanted to do a new Jurassic Park property and that, shouldn't we have another bite at a Trespasser like game and right the wrongs. And okay. I was a little bit shocked because it was really out of the blue. And I had really kind of got myself trapped in this job because I was finding financing for all sorts of my friends, and so like from like Guitar Hero to, I mean, all sorts of big games. I mean, I guess culminating in the sort of defection of Infinity Ward to become Respawn after Bobby Kotick refused to pay them their royalty after they made him $1 billion, which I orchestrated and took a lot of heat for. A lot of people were dependent upon me in a real way. They were trusting me like to make sure that they were going to get funded and they could own their IP for their games and stuff. And so I felt trapped because I didn't like doing it, but I couldn't let everybody down. But so what it took to get me out after, almost 10 years there was basically Steven Spielberg talking to the head of the agency saying, Seamus is going to come work on Jurassic Park. And it was like, I was out. I was done. I was fine. There was a reason. And so I started working and I had to write a story for Steven and then I had to present it to the heads of Universal. There were two heads at that time, two presidents, co-presidents of Universal. That went great. I went for this meeting, that was like, some kind of weird movie scene, where I parked and went up and they were all there and I gave them the story and they all loved it. The thesis was the audience doesn't want to kill dinosaurs, they want to be friends. And Walking with Dinosaurs had done really well recently. And it was certainly my feeling always was like, especially with the Velociraptors, like I looked at Jurassic Park and I looked at the sequels, less so maybe. And I thought, what would happen if we weren't continuously trying to kill them and restrain them? Like, what would happen if we had a different relationship with them, And we've brought these earthlings back to life. And isn't it our responsibility? If we presume a world where this all really happened, wouldn't it be our responsibility, since we revived them, to share the planet with them and figure out how to do that? And how would you do that? Aren't they really smart? And if they're really smart, wouldn't they get it that you're another predator? And so that's what I ran with. And they liked it. They loved it. And then Kathy Kennedy called and said, okay, so Stephen would like you to make him a trailer. And I was like, cool.
No pressure.
All right. So, you know, I had hired a bunch of concept artists, chief among them Ian McKegg, who is a dear friend of mine and who I love, and his daughter Mishi and other guys that he knew. And then I found some local talent here, 3D artists, who one of whom was a paleontologist who had become a 3D artist here in Pasadena. And I found some experts at UCLA in flying dinosaurs and in the aerodynamics and biomechanics of pterosaurs, because I thought, look, you know, the films showed pterosaurs with the island abandoned, they're going to get out. And you've read the story treatment and the game designs, you know what the deal with that is, and I assume we'll share that with our audience. And so I thought, all right, well, you know, let's have the coolest pterosaurs, and let's base the trailer on that, because if the dinosaurs are going to get out and they're going to get off Isla Sorna, the big pterosaurs are going to be the first ones that the world sees. So what's the most interesting thing they could do? And that's how we ended up with that trailer. And I didn't realize that all this shit had leaked, and it, like I said on Twitter, it must have been very confusing for everybody in the fandom that this random trailer showed up with a different logo, but the same name and slightly different than anything in the films. And then there are all these guys I read. I mean, I just looked at this a few weeks ago when you first talked to me about this, and I found the link to the leaked video. The analysis of it was hilarious. These guys making all this stuff up about what the trailer was and what Steven thought and all of this. That's really funny to read. That's actually a really good time. And I don't mean to insult them. I assume that they were trying to research those things in good faith. And you know, it's like the game of telephone. Like, nobody's really trying to make anything up. But in aggregate, after you talk to 50 people, there's a whole story that never happened. So yeah. Anyway, so that's what happened. So I, you know, we finished the trailer and, you know, and Ian really, you know, bore the brunt of that, and did it just a terrific job. And we found music. I was going to originally use the Trespasser music, but that was mainly used for the story reel, which I see you have unearthed, which was another thing that we produced. Anyway, so I sent the trailer off to Steven, and then I didn't hear back. And I was like climbing the fucking walls. I was literally freaking out. I mean, what do you do? How do you pass the time after you send your Jurassic Park sequel trailer to Steven Spielberg? What the fuck do you do to distract yourself while you wait? And I waited and I waited. And finally, I emailed Kathy and I was like, so did he like it? And she wrote, oh, of course. Yeah, he loved it.
It's like, thanks for telling me.
Okay. Fine. And so then we had a screening of the trailer for the Universal executives in the executive screening room at Universal.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool. And on the big screen, that's great. You know, especially in that last cut where you have the Quetzalcoatlus like flying into the frame.
Yeah.
actually got them to scream in the big theater because it was dark and it's in surround sound. I don't know if the copy on YouTube is in surround sound or not, but it's cool. So yeah, so did all that and pitched it, and I started hiring a team. I got an engine. I had, you know, space that I was starting to convert, and I thought it was a really strong game design. I have prototypes of the gameplay in 2D where you play the protagonist and you have two or three signals you can give to velociraptors and just to see what it was like. So you're hunted by guys who have guns, and you have a team of velociraptors and you have a pistol. So you can shoot and you can command the velociraptors. And I have all of these studies of gameplay and how you do it. And it was a super fun game because the velociraptors kind of flock to you, but they have intelligence and you give the commands. And it's awesome. It was so fun. And so, you know, I did the thing that I like to do when I design games, which is to start with the gameplay. And that was fun. And so then we were going to, you know, bring that up into 3D, kind of the same way that like Grand Theft Auto went from a 2D top-down game into 3D. Then the president of Universal was fired, and the other co-president, Donna, took over. And I heard that she didn't like games or didn't feel comfortable funding games or something. And suddenly Universal wasn't going to fund this. And also, could I please send everything, all my assets and everything to Frank Marshall, who is a wonderful guy. I love Frank. Because they're going to make a film. And the film just happens to have the same exact name. And I was like, what? And I was assured that, oh, no, it's a complete coincidence. And like, okay, you be the judge of that. Fine. And, you know, I have no ill will toward anybody, but I'm not sure I believe that it just randomly had the same name. So that's what happened. You know, and I was cool about it. It was super hard and disappointing for me. But I had also, I had another project that I was working on that I was trying to constantly shut down that wouldn't die. And so I just kind of made the other project my career at that point. And I had to give up on, you know, being able to make good on Trespasser. And that was hard.
Yeah, I mean, what's surprising is even after Jurassic World, the movie came out, they never did make an actual like game adaptation or anything like that. The only game we ever got was the park building game.
Well, and look, and the game guys at Universal, they're great guys, okay? Really good guys. Bill Kispert is the terrific executive, but you know, he got burned by this all too. You know, we went to find a publisher who would fund it after, you know, Universal said, okay, well, you know, how are we going to fund this like a film? Well, we're not going to fund it like a film anymore, which was the worst. And I believe I got a call from Steven, you know, saying, hey, you know, we really want to use a lot of this stuff for the film. And I was like, that's fine, Steven. Because Steven Spielberg is a really good guy. But I'm not going to lie to you. You know, some of the concept art that you have now found, if you look at it, those were the movie posters. Like if you look at the billboards for Jurassic World, some of them are exactly the same.
Yeah.
As the concept art. And so when I would drive around LA at that time and see them, that was super hard. Well, it wasn't easy. I got to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly took some elements from, you know, from looking at the documents. I mean, like the relationship between, you know, the game character and the raptors. I mean, that's totally like Owen and the raptors in Jurassic World.
And the lead female raptor being blue and called Blue, all that stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, and but that's all fine. And I mean, I really have to tell you, like, there's a story here where, you know, which is not true, where I feel all bitter about this. But Frank Marshall's a stand-up guy. Steven Spielberg is a really good guy. You know, like Universal made a business decision, the presidents of Universal, and it fucking sucked and it was wrong. And it was a bad call. But everybody else just had to deal with it. And they dealt with it, you know, like adults and like caring people. And they were nice about it. Kathy Kennedy was super nice about it. Okay. So, you know, it happened. And they owned everything because they paid for it all.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And in a way, I guess it is pretty gratifying that they liked, you know, what you did so much that elements did end up in the movie. I mean, that is like a compliment.
And it's one of the weird things about being Seamus Blackley, I got to be honest with you, is that I know people like as a physicist, or I know people like in my current job as a CEO or from games, and or like my son, you know, I was playing the trailer and looking at some of the stuff that you have now with him. And he was like, wait, you made this? And I'm like, well, fuck off. Like, fuck yes. I can do that. And so, you know, like having people being surprised, you know, oh my God, you can write? Like, yeah, like, yeah. So
That's great.
it's yeah, it's whatever, it's odd. And it's just a and the but at the end of the day, I think for me, there's just something about Jurassic Park that's bad luck for me. With
Oh, no.
one great counterexample, which is that my awesome smoking hot wife, Caroline, was, as you know, the art department coordinator on Jurassic Park. It was her first job out of art school, and I mean, she was such a part of it that you know, she you know, actually appears in stills in the movie, like in the slideshow and stuff, and on brochures. You forwarded to me the test of the kitchen scene where Caroline played the part of the girl crawling around, and she even suggested a joke that got in the movie. She told a stupid dad joke that her dad told her to Steven, and he put it in the film. And we have, I think I sent you a picture of this. We have that script page in our bathroom now. So that's so it, I mean, it really all ties together. And the great thing, it turns out, that I got out of Jurassic World and Jurassic Park wasn't the game. It was, you know, my whole life. So it's good.
Yeah, I mean, what could be better than that, right? And
I
I
assure you, nothing. Nothing could be better.
yeah. Yeah, and I love the joke that she contributed, the do you think he saw us joke, which is everyone loves that joke. It's so
Yes. So
goofy, but it's so great.
that came from my wife, the like 24-year-old like art department coordinator, or 22-year-old art department coordinator, fresh from England, like not understanding how she was suddenly at Amblin doing all of this, you know, telling silly jokes. It's the best. Hold on just a second. There's Caroline. Caroline, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So tell me the story of when you told the joke and you told it to Stephen, and then nothing happened, and then suddenly it was in the film, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so tell it, tell it.
Oh, all right. So I was sitting at my desk. My desk was in the bungalows at Amblin, and so I was right by the door. And anyone who came into the art department would always walk past my desk. And I was next to another set designer called Paul Sonsky, and I had told him this silly joke that my dad had written to me in a letter or something, because those, it was the day before internet, and it was a joke he had heard about, the joke that ended up in the thing.
And
So.
knowing our dad now, I find it extraordinary that he would write you a joke.
Right.
But
Well,
okay,
yes.
no,
Anyway,
so.
so I told this joke to Paul Sonsky, that day or a few days before. And so when Stephen came in the art department and said, "Hello, hello, hello, hello," and Paul said, "Hey, you should tell Stephen the joke on his way out." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, okay." So I said, so as he's walking right past my desk on his way out the art department, I say, "Hi, I have a joke." So I told him the joke, and he went, "Oh, that's great. Do you mind if I write it down?" I said, "No, not at all." He said, "Okay, cool, thanks. All right, bye." And that was that.
There you go. And now it's in our bathroom.
Bye.
That was awesome.